Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Mind your business with the breakfast huddle, only on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danka, Bharati Jagdish, and Ryan Huang with you. It's time now for Mind Your Business.
Yes, indeed. Now, if you've driven a car long enough, you would know the dread of a rattling engine as you crank up the ignition. That, of course, indicates an imminent breakdown. Actually, think about any machine you have. Yeah, there's usually a warning sign, and it could be in auditory form.
So our next guest used to be a bit of a crypto miner, and he spent countless hours maintaining supercomputers, listening to every digital crank, and he realized the relativity between the sound of server engines to car engines, and that same predictive theory can be applied when it comes to machine maintenance.
It's so interesting because honed by his personal passion for music is how he came to this. He melded his keen perceptiveness to sound and his interest in AI tech to conceptualize GroundUp.ai. It's the region's first end-to-end sound-first AI-based predictive maintenance operating system.
So the technology helps companies across manufacturing, construction, and maritime industries prevent unplanned downtime and reduce wastage. I want to find out more about this. So we've got Leon Lim, CEO and founder of GroundUp.ai. Leon, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Very good, sir. You know, I feel I can totally relate to you because I've seen so many people when they try to fix a car, you just listen to the engine. I mean, for me myself, I'm an audio junkie, so I do that with my mixers and all that. I mean, right. How much of an audiophile are you? Tell us about it.
Yeah, I think my journey started off 10 years plus ago when I was a musician in my school band.
Did you play?
Yeah, exactly. I played a French horn. Okay, I was allocated a French horn. Didn't really know what it was at the start.
But it's a lot of feeling, right, with the French horn, because I used to be in the military band myself, you know, the mouthpiece, the way your lips move, the shape of your lips, and, you know, you probably don't get your first sound until, like, many weeks of practicing.
Yeah, exactly. So after practicing, then you start to realize that sound is actually vibration in the air, like how we vibrate our lips. Yeah, so it's just a medium that we have, actually. So it's vibrating the lips, and then you produce some sound after that.
Okay, yeah. So how did you transition from that to doing something in the tech arena and applying the love or the knowledge of music to tech?
Yeah, so I started out when we were doing crypto mining somewhere in 2017. Yeah, so we were one of the pioneers in Singapore that picked up the crypto mining industry. So we literally bought a lot of rigs. We got people to buy the mining rigs together. And then we set up this server farm that could host over 1,000 rigs. Yeah, so man, initially it was quite fun, right? Because, you know, something new, and I was quite techy all the while. Like, I studied university, and I was like building rigs already, you know, like fixing computers and stuff. Yeah, so that was my passion. So crypto mining came along, and it just fit in very nicely with us. Yeah, the problem eventually was I had to stay up till very, very late every single day, like 3, 4 a.m., just to monitor the rigs. Yeah, you can imagine the scale, like 1,000 rigs, and then, you know, the rigs randomly break down when we least expect them to, right? That's how machines usually work. Yeah, if only that it could be breaking down when we want them to break down, but it doesn't work that way. Yeah, so after staying up for consecutively more than 2 weeks, my co-founder, Alex, and I, we decided that enough was enough. We can't just not sleep every single day mining, taking care of the machines.
Yeah, I feel
so
like
that was when the idea of, trying to do some form of maintenance without physically being there.
Right.
Came about.
Yeah. So and so this is, to describe it, it's a sound-first AI-based machine, right?
Exactly.
AI-based machine maintenance, I beg your pardon. Does it have anything to do with harmonics?
It's to do with picking up vibrations and amplitude in the air.
Right.
Yeah. So our system uses a multi-dimensional way of looking at sound. Yeah, so we pick up sound in the air. We pick up vibration through the machinery itself as well.
Okay, so explain to us exactly how it works. I mean, you had to teach your AI bot to detect all of this, right? What was that process like?
Exactly. So we deploy various sensors on the machinery itself. Yeah, so for example, in the maritime industry, we deploy the sound sensors near one of their key machinery called a turbocharger. Yeah, so that machine is really hot, right? So traditionally, people will put vibration sensors on separate machineries. But because it's so hot, it goes up to 320 degrees Celsius. We realized that actually putting sound sensors, which doesn't need physical touch near the machine, is actually better. Yeah, so that those little sensors actually transmit signals to the cloud. or to the on-premise servers to our AI software. Yeah. So in the background, you think of the AI software as taking all these signals in real time, studying the data and identifying different patterns, and then pushing the data back to the machine operator and telling them what is happening in real time.
So, yeah, so that's that one. It's a bit of a predictive model as well.
Exactly. So we built up this whole library of sound errors, vibration errors. Yeah, and it's a reservoir of data that we've already collected. We have pre-processed over the past, I would say, thousands of hours. Yeah, so companies love to tap into this database that we've already built. So they don't have to start from scratch when deploying new AI sensors in their plants.
Is this tech new? Or are you leading innovators in this?
I would say the predictive maintenance technology has been here for quite some time. Or rather, the condition-based monitoring, which is picking up signals. But moving into AI, remotely, not going down physically, right, being able to predict signals and not just diagnose signals, that one is something new that only existed in the past probably 3 years. Yeah.
So to what extent could your solution be developed to actually emulate the diagnostic hearing abilities of workers and experts in the field as well?
Now, so far, our accuracy, is quite cutting edge. We'll be able to beat our competitors on several metrics. Yeah, so the accuracy percentage goes on an average of about 85%, which means every time we pick up a signal, 85% of the time we are correct in actually predicting. Yeah, so the interesting thing about AI is it doesn't really matter where you start off. It could be at a very low percentage. It could be at like 40% accuracy, 60% accuracy. Yeah, but how we train the model, I think that's our core competency. Yeah, so we started out, you know, not being like machine experts. You know, we didn't come from the traditional machine industry, but because we were AI experts already that have been processing data for many years, so we started out quite low percentage, and then we accelerated the thing really quickly. Yeah, from like probably 60%, now we're at 85%. In a few months' time, we'll probably be at 90%.
Okay. Leon, I'm going to put you on the spot here and think business proposition, right?
Sure.
Say if I needed you to come to my radio studio to ensure that these machines don't break down. What is that process like? How much do I need to know or be trained from you in order to somewhat take over some level of your software?
Okay, the good thing is it's really hassle-free, it's totally hands-off. You don't need any form of maintenance knowledge, right? So if you're a regular user, meaning that you're just maintaining the machines very regularly, I mean, on a more common basis, right? There's something there trying to check. Yeah, you just have to put our sensors on it, connect it to the internet, and automatically the signals will start picking up. Yeah, so you don't have to learn anything about the technology side. And then we'll give you this software that you can log in, just through a regular login name. And then there you go. You can start to see signals. And the AI works in the background and it starts to push signals to the front-end dashboard. And you can have a look at how your machines are remotely, actually.
Right.
As with all technology, I'm sure there are limitations to this software and model as well. What are those limitations and how are you working to make them less limiting?
Yeah, so actually our solution is actually to leapfrog the previous limitation. Yeah. So we have been in this space for quite some time. We do actually sound sensors, vibration sensors. I would say sound can actually leapfrog vibration itself because of the fact that it doesn't require you to physically touch the machines. Yeah, so we take it at one level higher. But the problem is it needs to be transmitted through a medium, right? Like you have to go through a certain like air and it vibrates and it picks it up. So I would say at this stage, our solution is not applicable for, let's say, for rockets that go into space, because that's totally different, right? There's no vibration in the air there. Yeah. So rather than move our solutions, try to implement or innovate something for space, I think we need to help people on Earth first.
Of course. And Leon, based on that, I got a damn good one for you, one Singaporean to another. Can ground-up AI, your solution, help when it comes to predicting MRT breakdowns?
It's totally possible. That's a really good question.
All right.
Very good.
Okay. How would it work, though? Hypothetically, how would it work?
Okay, so firstly, there's a lot of, after I started this, right, a lot of friends have been asking me, like, why is the train still breaking now? You should do something about it, Leon. Yeah. Secondly, I was telling them that we are working on it, right? So, of course, our hope is that there should be more proactive measures, which have already been done, actually. Yeah, so firstly, we just have to put in sensors to the crucial, I would say, we solve the level one of it, which is the mechanical parts of the train. Yeah, so things like bearings, the electrical box signals.
Mm.
Yeah, so long as we attach sensors there, and actually the MRT has pretty good Wi-Fi connection compared to overseas.
True, mm. true.
Yeah, so we can actually pick up signals from there, and we can start analyzing. Yeah, so the good thing is we are already prepared on the back end.
Mm.
So our meter asset capsule, which is the reservoir of data, we have all the necessary parts that the MRT train already have. Wow. We already pre-train it just in case one day they want to speed up their deployment with us.
Mm. Should be quite interesting.
Yeah. Okay, time to strengthen that pitch, yeah, to the MRT guys.
I'm hoping they listen to.
For sure. Let's talk about some of the challenges that companies might face in actually adopting and implementing this type of technology in their operations. To what extent have you faced resistance, and what are you doing to counter it?
Yeah, so because we are in, we have presence in neighboring countries as well. Yeah, so I think for Singapore, the mindset actually is quite okay. That means we are pretty much ready to adopt like IoT solutions. And I think a lot of it is really the education that, you know, not just the government but private sector is being like pushing to each other. You know, the physical competitiveness, like,
yeah,
you're already doing this, my competitor, so I have to do something, you know, to increase my operational efficiency. You know, I'm losing to my competitor. Yeah, so at the start, we were thinking, how do we educate not just the executive level, the management level, but even the operator level as well. Because if they are the ones maintaining the machines physically when there's a need to, yeah. So if they don't like the software or they're not open-minded enough, then the whole thing just fails. So we spent quite a bit really building a simple user interface, right? So unlike the regular industrial softwares, you know, which look like Windows 95 or something. Yeah, so we are really inspired by like modern design, you know, companies like Airbnb and Apple. So we try to build the best design components, make it as simple as possible so the operators have as low resistance in picking up the software as possible.
And yeah, probably even operate it from your phone. Who knows how far I could advance. You guys also raised $500,000 in your latest seed funding round. I mean, I'm just thinking about the tech that's behind this. Is that enough? What do you plan to do with that money?
Oh, yeah. So I think it's... We just wanted to start off with a little bit of risk.
Okay.
So fortunately for us, we already have clients that are paying us money.
Mm.
Yeah. So we have reached a stage whereby clients they have gone past the proof of concept. They are implementing full scale projects. So we do have some cash flow from the clients, thankfully. Yeah. So strategically, we decided that we are good for now. We have already built the technology. Yeah. So immediately after the seed round, Series A investors, you know, now, speaking to you guys, you know, the investors are calling for the Series A round, actually. So we're trying to move to the next round to do something a little bit more quickly.
Very quickly, to wrap up, let's talk about the future in terms of the technology. Where do you see this going? What is your next level development stage? And how many other industries can this be applied to? How do you make a business case for it moving forward?
Yeah, so one of the great things is... about predictive maintenance, it's machine agnostic. Yeah, so regardless whether, you know, so long as you have heavy machinery, it doesn't matter which industry, it can be maritime, construction, right? So long as you are on Earth so far, it's an industry that we can help with. Yeah, so we are looking to grow the business horizontally. Yeah, we are also trying to go deeper into the different sectors. Yeah, essentially, we spend more money on R&D to build, I would say, faster connections, increase our product range as well.
Yeah, hey, what is the most unique machine that you're maintaining, just for fun?
Well, actually, I think it would be the ship turbocharger because it's really a huge machine.
Oh.
It stands at like probably 3 stories tall. It's really hot. Yeah, you can... there's a running joke that you don't even have to put your... If you put a cracked egg, you don't even have to put it on the frying pan itself. You can put it near the frying pan and get cooked.
I'm staying away from that.
Like barbecue on steroids. So you see, it's really dangerous, right, from a maintenance perspective to maintain such a machinery.
Yeah.
Right,
you gotta do it remotely.
Yeah, so this has actually advantages for workplace safety as well. Thank you so much, Leon. We've been speaking with Leon Lim, CEO and founder of GroundUp.ai. You stay safe and take care, Leon.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.